Where the Legends Play, Willie 1550 and 98.7. Hello there, it's Kenny Graves, and on the phone with me, one of my favorites. He's charted more than 20 singles, including 11 top 10 hits with 3 number 1 singles, and he's a man of many nicknames. We're going to call him his T-ness today. We're talking about T. Graham Brown. Hello, T. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Kenny. How you doing, buddy?
I am hanging in there best I can. I had one of my radio friends found out I was interviewing you, so I have a question, and it's from somebody that wanted to know, you recently played at the Opry with no audience, and so what was that experience like playing with nobody there except you guys on stage?
Wow, well, it wasn't very different than every other show I do.
Oh, man.
I'm teasing. We had a good time, but it was just weird, man. Usually that place has got 4,500 people in it. And it was Trace Atkins and Jason Crabb and myself, and we did our thing, but it was weird, I'll say that.
Yes, sir. Still hallowed ground, though, so I guess anytime you're there, the acoustics are great. Still a big deal to do.
But it was fun. It really was fun. And like you said, man, anytime you get to play the Grand Ole Opry, it's awesome. And when you're sitting on that stage or standing on that stage singing, it's one of the biggest career highlights you could ever want.
Yes, sir. And you've stayed very busy. Your online presence is huge, and your live streams have been very, very popular. How's that going for you?
Oh, it's been good. It's been a lot of fun. The last one we did was for the Navy for Memorial Day, and I'm trying to stay busy. We did a James Burton Foundation thing back in the fall. James Burton was Elvis's guitar player for a long time, and there were a lot of us there. A lot of great guitar players were there, and I'm going to do some overdubs for that tomorrow. And then next week I'm putting vocals. I just cut a new Greatest Hits album with just an acoustic version, kind of like a really, really stripped down thing. So I'm trying to stay busy as I can.
Yes, sir. Well, I want the listeners to know a little more about you when we get done than they did right now. So let's go back a ways. And you were born and raised in Southern Georgia. And so what music first influenced you?
Wow, Kenny. You know, we listened to this little radio station. I could pick it up on my transistor radio. It was 10 miles away. It was a tiny thing. It was WMJM, I remember. It was 1490 since 1940. That was their saying. And they played everything. I might hear Johnny Cash and then hear Otis Redding and then hear the Beatles. And just they played everything. They didn't really have a format. So I got to listen to all kinds of stuff, and then I would turn my little radio on at night and go through the dial, the AM dial, and I could hear all the clear channel stations, and I just heard all kinds of stuff.
So you drew from a lot of different wells.
Yeah, I enjoyed all kinds of music, and our house backed up to the railroad tracks in this little town I grew up in. There was only 300 people, and I could hear the Black Church across the railroad tracks, and that was the first real band I ever heard. They had a full band. We had a little lady playing a piano at our Baptist church, but the Black Church was the first band I ever heard, so I was exposed to that early on too.
Okay. And then in the mid to late 70s, you formed and played with a few different bands, and how did that help you grow and develop your sound?
Well, gee, I got to sing all different kinds of music. I did. When I first started singing, I started singing for a living in October of 1973 while I was going to the University of Georgia. And I sang what we call beach music back then. It's kind of like a South Carolina style of rhythm and blues. And then I put together I thought I was David Allen Coe for like 3 or 4 years. And then I put together just a straight soul band. So I got to do a little bit of everything. Till Sheila finished up her master's work at the University of Georgia, and then she came home one day and said, "Let's go to Nashville." So
that's right.
We took off.
And you, and somewhere in the early 80s there, you showed up in Nashville. You hired on as a songwriter with EMI Publishing. And then apparently people loved what they heard in your voice because you started singing jingles for everybody. You were the jingle man at the time.
Well, I did an awful lot of them, that's for sure. My voice got passed around. You know, I started singing demos, songwriter demos, and my voice kind of got passed around on all these pitch tapes. So, you know, people heard me, and that's actually how I got my first record deal on Capitol Records, was they heard my voice. And it got to where people were saying, you know, this is a good song, but who's this guy singing? And that really helped me a lot.
Yes, sir. And with Capitol Records in 1984, you had your very first top 40 hit with Drowning in Memories. So what was it like reaching that milestone as a performer, hitting the charts?
Gee whiz, are you kidding me? It was awesome. I remember when that little single came out, I had a singles deal. I didn't have an album deal, so I was really wanting that single to do well. And I remember Sheila and I we had this Volkswagen, and we got in that Volkswagen, and we drove to Kentucky. We found this little bitty radio station out in the woods somewhere, and I just begged them to play it. And I remember sitting in the parking lot listening to it, and that was just, it was really great.
But, of course, you did have the first album, I Tell It Like It Used to Be, and that was such a huge success. It had a top 10, a top 5, and 2 number ones. Now, how did your life change after kind of becoming a household name?
Well, it just got really busy. I signed on to do opening act for Kenny Rogers, and we did almost 300 shows and over the period of about 3 years. And I just remember we were gone, man. We were gone some years over 300 days a year. And I was thinking about it the other day. Somebody asked me that, and it just seems like such a blur. It's hard to remember. I'm having more fun now, I'll tell you that, than I had back then because the pressure's off. I don't feel like I really got anything left to prove, and I'm not chasing a hit. And it's way more laid back now than it was back then.
Yes, sir. And then something really interesting happened. In 1998, you recorded one of the songs that come along just once every decade or so. That's a really powerful song that moves people to their core. And it was Wine Into Water. And it's so personal to you, and it touched so many people. Do you have any stories you can share about fan reactions about that song?
Well, man, that song is a gift from God. I have no doubt that song's anointed. And when we wrote that, we didn't have any idea what kind of effect it was going to have. It's just been wonderful, Kenny. That's really Sheila and I's main thing, is that's our little personal ministry, is helping people get sober and stay sober. And we've had so many great responses. We're putting a little book together, and just to try to help people get straightened out, you know, give people hope. And the song's been amazing. It's just been really a gift.
It always gets a big reaction. I mean, I think you probably get a lot of requests for that when you're doing live performances. I would believe that's one of your most requested, if I had to guess.
Oh, we get tons of I'm so glad that God helped me get sobered up, and now I can go out on stage and talk to people and give people hope about that particular subject. And yeah, it's just been a wonderful platform for us.
Well, congrats on that. And you were nominated for a Grammy for your gospel album, Forever Changed. Now, I got a question. How was it working on that album compared to regular albums, other than the genre change?
Well, it was great, man. I never had called in any favors. And somebody in the studio mentioned, you know, Vince would sound good on this track. And so I thought, well, I'll call him up. You know, I've been knowing him since the 80s, and I knew he'd say yes because he never says no to anybody anyway. So he put his voice and a guitar part on it, and then that kind of got things going. And I called the Oak Ridge Boys and Leon Russell, my old buddy from 30-something years. You know, he was a great guy, but God rest his soul. And a lot of gospel, Southern gospel people, Jason Crabb, Jimmy Thornton, Sonia Isaacs. It just turned into this thing, man. It was just a ton of fun.
And, of course, you're also staying busy, and you're hosting Livewire on SiriusXM's Prime Country Channel 58. Tell us about that.
Well, that's just a blast, too. I get to play live cuts from people's live albums. I'd had that idea for, gosh, 5 or 6 years, and I finally talked them into doing it. I've been approaching Sirius for, I don't know, the last 4 years, and they finally said yes. And it's a blast. Like, I was just talking to a guy about the June edition of it. I got Johnny Cash and Merle Haggard and Bob Seger, and it's going to be really fun. But I get to stretch out and have a little fun, pick the music I want to pick. And they kind of give me a free rein on it. It's a lot of fun.
Playing music and getting to talk about the music is always fun, I'll guarantee you. I can speak for that. And of course, I saw on your Facebook page, you have an album that's going to be available on all the streaming sites next week, at the end of next week.
Yeah, well, you know, we cut a record, Kenny, at the house in 1995. I had a studio set up over here, and it never got put out. We own it, and we just never put it out. So we decided the time was right. We kind of got reminded of it by some friends of ours and thought, well, heck, I just did a deal with Time Life that's putting our other albums up on all the social, all the music platforms, streaming platforms, and we just put that one in there with it. So I'm anxious to see if people like it or not.
I would bet on the yes on that. I'll take it.
It's got the first ever recording of Wine Into Water on it, and Steve Warner singing on it and playing guitar on it. So, yeah, you know, I'd forgotten about that record, and it's pretty doggone good, actually.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing some of it because I have not heard that album before. So tell people how they can find your music and where they can follow you on social media.
Well, if you can remember T. Graham Brown, that's all you got to remember. That's you can get us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. The website's tgrahambrown.com, of course. Just type in T. Graham Brown, and it'll all come up.
Very good, sir. Thank you so much for taking time to hang out with us for a little bit. I know the fans and listeners out there have enjoyed the conversation.
Well, God bless you, Kenny. Thanks to you, and God bless all your listeners. God bless the United States of America.
Thank you for that. All right, T. Graham Brown. I'm Kenny Graves here for Willie 1550 and 98.7.